So we're going to look at something that all of us deal with. I hope that you would be honest enough to agree with me when we look at these things. But it's part of human nature. It's part of the old Adamic nature. And that is the idea of failing. So my title is It Never Fails. How many of you have ever said that? It just never failed. How many of you like Murphy? I like Murphy. All right, Deuteronomy 31, verse 5. We're going to read from verse 5 to verse 8. It says, "And the Lord shall give them up before your face, that ye may do unto them according to all the commandments which I have commanded you." And here Moses is talking. He's talking to Joshua. In verse 6, it says, "Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee." Moses said unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, he says, "Be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people into the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed." The Lord tells Moses, he says, "I want you to talk to Joshua. This is what I want you to tell him. I won't fail him." Moses then goes to Joshua and says, "The Lord's not going to fail you. This morning, I would like to present to you the case that the Lord will not fail you." He will not. He never fails. Now, life will beat you up. Just give it some time. Life can kick you in the teeth. It will. You say, "Well, life ain't never kicked me in the teeth." Well, it's because you ain't lived long enough. You live long enough and it'll get to you eventually. How about this one? Not only will life beat us up and sometimes kick us in the teeth, but it'll leave you a wreck. Leave families destroyed. Leave lives shattered. Life's tough. One preacher said, and I like what he said. He said, "Life is a veil of tears." You say, "Well, you're not encouraging me this morning." Well, if you wait to the end, I will get to that, I promise. But this morning, I want to look at a couple things on how do I survive. You know, in the last 24 hours, I've had just a myriad of emotion. So I go to my really close friend in Toledo. I go to his daughter's funeral, 33 years old. Never been married, a virgin. As clean as just about you can live clean. How many times do you think it's crossed their minds? Well, Lord, why? Lord, why us? Lord, why her? All of this other garbage that goes on in the world, and Lord, why her? Do you not think this morning that that did not cross their minds? I know it did. You say, "How do you know?" Because they're normal. They're just people, just like me and you. Sometimes life can work you over. How do I survive? How do I thrive? The world has no answers to that. The world says, "Let's go to Kings Island," or "Let's go to, some amusement park, Disneyland, or one of those places, and woo, we're going to have fun." Yeah, you can go there, man. You can smile at Disney. But how about probably my big takeaway from that funeral is they, it was a little different than normal, but anyway, they brought that casket. Now this is a big place. They brought that casket out, and right behind that casket was mom and dad. And he had a hold of her hand, and it was all they could do to survive. But now they weren't just destroyed. You didn't hear that. You didn't hear nobody jumping in a casket. None of that. There was rejoicing. There was singing. There were smiles. And yet the world, life had kicked them in the teeth. It's hard. I'm going to give you four questions and answers this morning. I didn't have time to write this up there. Otherwise, I would have. But if you got a pencil and paper, I think it will do us good. Number one is, who do we fail? That's question number one that we're going to ask and answer. Number two is, why do we fail? Why? I'm going to give you the question and the answer. Number three is, how do we fail? There are five reasons why. And then number four is there anything or anyone that will not fail? How many of us have experienced the idea of someone letting us down? How about this one? How many of us experienced the idea of someone not being there for us? Now, let me ask you this question. We all, if you're honest, would answer and say, you know, there's been some times that people didn't show up for me. There've been some times when I expected and didn't happen. Now, let me ask you this. How many times have you not showed up for them? How many times was it that we failed them? Do you know this morning what we do? We focus on the stuff that happens at me. We rarely ever get to the point of, what about me? You know where I'm aiming this morning? I'm aiming at you. You say, why? I don't want to be aimed at. Well, I've been aiming at me. I'm tired of getting shot. So it's time for you. No. All right, number one. Who do we fail? You can write down Genesis chapter 3 from verse 1 to 24. You can also turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, which is where we'll go next. Who do we fail? To whom do we fail? This goes back to the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve, number one, failed the Lord. That's the first person they failed. You know, this morning, when we worry so much about others failing us, which we do, I wonder if we worry just half as much about how many times I failed the Lord. I don't think that stuff occurs to us. I don't even think it hits our minds. To whom do we fail? Number one is the Lord. Adam and Eve failed themselves. That's number B, or however you want to set this outline up. They failed each other. Watch this. When they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they failed their family. Last is, they failed humanity itself. You say, well, my life is, I'm a nobody. I've said that before, you know, and that's just the idea of not trying to be all proud, you know, in the grand scheme of things, I am a nobody. But also, it's true that our lives have a long reach, a long one. Good or bad, yours does. Spiritual or not, yours does. Whether you like it or not, yours does. And people are watching, and people are listening. I was telling you about, I've had a friend up there, and we were talking, and I've known him 40 years. This rascal, when I got to Toledo, I mean, I was young, full of vim and vigor. I had hair. And he always, that church had just went through a split when I got there. And this guy was always there and he sat by himself. But he was married. So he's coming to church without her. How many of you have seen women come to church without him? How many times have you ever seen where he comes to church without her? Only a few. Not very many. She came, I think, in 4 or 5 years. I think she came maybe once or twice. That's it. So you know what's going on, right? I mean, we're not stupid. We're not ignorant. You know what's happening here, right? That's what happened. It broke his heart. He stayed faithful. How many of you seen my discipleship stuff? You know where that original outline came from? It came from him. That's how far back. So we were talking. He remarried. He's doing well. And I said, boy, I said, things are certainly different than they were. And he looked at me and he goes, yes. He said, and God is still faithful. Do you know the Lord's not going to let you down? He's not. We might let ourselves down like Adam and Eve did. But the Lord, he's not ever going to let you down. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Look with me at verse 21 and 22. It says, for since by man came death, there's Adam. By man came also the resurrection of the dead, there's Jesus Christ. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Do you think Adam's sin was far-reaching? Do you think that Adam's failure was far-reaching? I submit to you, it had a long reach. I'm going to submit to you this morning that ours does too. We just don't like to think about it. We don't like to talk about it. And we think, well, I'm a nobody, and so I don't count. Oh, yes, you do. Look with me in verse 45 to 49. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul, and the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, Adam, but that which was natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. There's Jesus Christ. The first man is of the earth, earthy, Adam. The second man is of the Lord, or is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. If you're born in this soul world, you've got an Adamic nature. And you are going to fail. And others are going to fail you. You say, I don't like that. That's life. And sometimes it kicks you in the teeth. Verse 49. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. But you've got a God this morning that will not fail you. He will always be there just for you. You know, I think sometimes we come to church and people, and just watch religion. This is how religion works. Religion takes somebody, whether it's a priest, a preacher, a bishop, I don't care, whatever you want to call him, and they set him up on this big pedestal. They think he's somebody special. You know, he puts his drawers on just like everybody else. Amen. Just like everybody else. And so they put him up there, and guess what he's going to do? Are you listening? He is going to fail. All of us do. So by putting somebody up on that pedestal and thinking this cat can't fail, he can, and he will. You see, people, I ain't going to go to that church, a bunch of hypocrites. Rah, 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 rah. Well, listen, you live with hypocrites. You are married to a hypocrite. You work with hypocrites. Why not go to church with hypocrites? Amen? Amen. All right, number two. Why do we fail? There are 64 references in your Bible to the word fail. 64. You say, why so much? Because we all experience it. We experience those that fail us. We also experience those that we have failed. We experience those that have let us down. And we experience those that we let down. You say, oh, well, okay, Brother Kaufman, I get it. Everybody fails.
Yep, yep. And you know what we do? Right? That is our big excuse.
I caught it. I didn't fail you. Close.
That's our excuse.
How many times have you ever heard of it? Oh, well, you know, so and so, but you know, everybody does it. And that's our excuse. Watch this now.
That's our excuse to quit.
You know, the devil does not care how he gets you out of this race. He doesn't care. He didn't care if it's money, poverty, tragedy, heartache. He doesn't care. And if you use, well, everybody, it's just purely an excuse so that you or I could fail. Number three, there are five steps in how that we fail. Number one, plan without a purpose. How many of you ever heard the old adage, make a plan, work the plan, adjust the plan, work the plan? That's business 101, right? But you know what? A plan without a purpose, good for nothing. It's going to fail. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 24. And this is one that you should memorize. I hope you already have it memorized. Proverbs chapter 24, look with me in verse 16. For a just man falleth seven times. So is this guy failing? More than once. What's the key? And what? Just man falleth seven times, but the and riseth up again. The key to failing is getting up. That's number one. Number two, you write this down and learn the lessons in the failing. If all you do is get up, that ain't enough. How many people do you know this morning? And you look at them and you do this number. Does anybody else in here ever shake their head to somebody? I'm bad for it. Terrible. And so we look and we think, how could that continue? You know what they're doing? They're doing the same thing over and over and over and over and over. And they expect something different to happen. And that is never going to work. Never. How do we fail? Number one is we plan without a purpose. Ready? See, you say, well, this is not very sweet, preacher. I know. Kids get worse. Ready? Let me ask you, how has your plans worked out? So your plans worked out the way you thought? Are you exactly where you are today? What you thought 25 or 30 years ago? Hello? No. You say, why? Because most of our plans had no purpose to them. None whatsoever. I'd like you to make this little note. Do we put the Lord first? Is that the purpose? When we make a plan, is the plan to put the Lord first? Is that the purpose behind it? How about this one? Is it that God gets all the glory from it? You know how much trouble that would keep people out of? It'd keep them off of alcohol, off of dope, out of the whorehouses, out of the gambling halls. It would fix the issue if it's my purpose is to bring glory and honor to Jesus Christ. How do we fail? We plan without a purpose. Number B or two, whatever you want. It's purpose without preparation. That is to get ready, to prepare. It takes 10,000 hours to master anything. Look over at Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, look at verse 15. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 15, it says, and your feet shod with the what? With the preparation of the gospel of peace. There must be preparation. You say, what is that? Well, that's prepare with your purpose to work that plan. But it just doesn't happen. All right, I want everybody to watch up here. You are this morning as spiritual as you want to be. Everybody in this room, no exceptions. You say, well, I want to be closer to the Lord. How many of you ever heard that before? Oh, I just want to be closer to God. How many of you ever heard that? I hear it all the time. You know what I tell them? I say, well, you read your Bible? Tell me, what did you read this morning? Show me your prayer list. You see, this is a joke. This is all I want to be closer to God. You're just lying. You say, how can you say that? No preparation. None, zero. You want to be close to the Lord? Get your nose in this book. You want to be close to the Lord? Get on your hands and knees and pray. You say, well, I don't have nothing to pray for. Can't you pray for Rex and Joanne? Hello? Listen, if you've got kids and you've got a heart and you can't think that my 33-year-old little girl that's as clean as any kid on this planet, that kid had cancer and fighting for 4 years and now is in a box and in the ground and you can't pray for Rex and Joanne, come on. Yes, you can. And you can have empathy and you can have sympathy. Because you can put yourself in their place. I went to the hospital this morning to see this baby. You know, the Bible looks at this all different than we do. Do you all know that? You know, the Bible looks at a child of God going to heaven as a hallelujah fit. But you know how it looks at a kid being born? Danger, danger, Will Robinson. Danger, danger, danger. That's not how we look at this. We go to a funeral and cry. We go to the hospital and look at this little kid and we think, whew. So I'm holding this little girl this morning. And you know, when mom and dad, they're tired, but they're all excited. They're all excited. And I'm looking into her eyes and I'm not saying anything, but I'm praying. I'm praying, oh God, so many things can go wrong. Oh Lord, so much. Oh God, would you please use her? Would you bless her? That's what I was praying. Do you see the difference? You say, what's the difference? That's why we fail. That's why. Bob Jones Sr. said this. He said, the best preparation for tomorrow is to do right today. Plan without a purpose. Purpose without preparation. Preparation without principles ends in failure. Principles, do right. Truths that we live by. Go to Proverbs chapter 4. In Proverbs, you can write it down. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7, the Bible says that wisdom is the principal thing. What principles do we live by? What is it that governs our lives? Watch this. What is it that we submit to? Do we submit to the scriptures? Now, I want you to really think this morning. Do we submit to what that book says? I want to submit to it. You put me on the spot. I will submit to what this says. You ready? How about you? Will you? It's a big book. What are the principles you live by? Oh, I don't lie. I don't steal. How many people steal time at work? That's stealing. You go to the bank. You're walking out of the bank and there's a $20 bill on the ground. What do you do? Don't just bless me with. Somebody just walked out of there and it fell out of their pocket, right? Have you ever lost money and went back and ain't no money there? You know why? Somebody picked it up. Principles that we live by. The scriptures. Number four is principles without power. Turn with me to Romans. This is very, very important. These first three, I would say that the world tries to mimic. These last two, the world can't mimic. This is the difference between saved and lost. Ready? This lost world can go through and say, well, we can plan with a purpose. Maybe their purpose ain't right. Or we can purpose with preparation. You know, they can get that. That's business, business, business. And then they can do preparation with principles, you know, whatever their little list of principles are. But now this one, they cannot copy this. All right. Number four is principles without power end in failure. There has to be something that turns the engine. That's the power. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. What is the power of God here? I am not ashamed of the what? Of the gospel of Christ. You say, what is driving the engine? A, it's the gospel of Jesus Christ. You want power in your life? Put the gospel out. It's the power of God unto salvation. Look over at chapter 15 of Romans. Principles without power, the engine won't run. Romans chapter 15, verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. On my way to Toledo, I was praying, Lord, I pray that you give them the power and the grace that would sustain them. Because, I mean, it's tough. That's a kick in the gut. And you know she didn't fall apart. And she's a pretty emotional person. You know, some people are real easy criers and some are not. She can cry. Now, Rex is different. But I was praying for him the same. And I expected him to jump and run circles around that auditorium. That kid's in heaven. That's what I expected. They didn't. The Lord give him grace and sustained him through probably the hardest time he had ever had. You know, this morning, principles without power go nowhere. What is turning your engine? Is it the power of the gospel? Is it the power of the Holy Ghost? Have you ever asked the Lord, Lord, would you give me the power to get through whatever it is you're wanting to get through? If you ask the Lord, hey, Lord, I want to be a part of seeing people get saved. Would you give me that power? How many of you want your prayers answered? Or is it just a rote exercise in futility? I want mine answered, don't you? You say, what's that? That's the power of the Holy Ghost of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Just a couple pages over. Look at verse 18. It says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Verse 24, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. You want to know what will will make the engine run is Jesus Christ himself. But he's going to have to work in you and then through you. Number five, power without perseverance always runs out. That is just simply this. Don't quit. Stick with it. You know, did you ever think about the little turtle and the snail that got onto the ark? Didn't they have to get there? Did the Lord fly them in? I don't know. Looks to me like that the Lord said, it's going to rain. Get your butt down under that ark. And guess what they did? They did. Think about how many logs and streams and all the things that they had to go through just to get to the ark. You know what they did? They persevered. They went on. They did not quit. Please write down 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. And there the Apostle Paul says, I fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. I have finished my course. You know what Paul did? He didn't quit. You can also write down Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. Paul says, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. This morning, if you want to try and use an excuse and say, well, everybody fails, all the things that we have failed with and failed others, and others have failed us, I want everybody to listen. You have two choices. You can dwell on it. You can get bitter about it. You can get mad at God about it. Or you can look at the Lord and say, thank you for saving me, and I'm going to let it go. And God will bless you. If you don't, you're going to get it in the neck. Well, very nice, preacher. I'm sorry. How many of us, I was talking to that buddy of mine 40 years. He said, you know, brother, he said, something happened. It's like 25 years ago. He said, you know, it bothers me. He said, one day it occurred to me that what was bothering me was killing me. He said, I went to God and I said, Lord, I'm tired of carrying this. He just give it to God, let it go. You said that easy, just like that. You know why we don't turn it loose? Is we don't want to. We want to hold on to that. Watch this. You write this down. You get used to it. You know, a pig gets used to living in a hog pen. Amen. You get used to all that bitterness. You get used to all that garbage. You get used to it. And you might not see your way out. I'm going to give you the way out here next. Thomas Edison said, I have not failed. I've just found 10,000 ways that won't work. I like that. I like that. People often are afraid to fail and they're afraid to succeed. Failing is not fatal. I don't know who said this, but I thought it was pretty good. Failing is not fatal until you quit. That's good too. Ready for this? We live in a throwaway society. It's disposable. Now, men, does anybody in here ever use cloth diapers? Okay, there's a few of you. So we had gotten married, and here comes Paula, and I'm looking at diapers, and back then it was $7. You know, it ain't $7 no more. It's how much is it?
I think it's $45.
I'd probably be ready to go back to cloth. Anyway, so I'm talking to my wife. I said, let's go to cloth diaper. Nay, 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 she says. I said, well, why not? She goes, well, we'll get some cloth diapers and you can try it first. You know what I said? Bring on the diapers. Throwaway, disposable. You know this morning how many lives we throw away? You know how many this morning people that we look at and we think, Everybody in this room does it. Some may be much more than others, but we all do. You say, what is that? What excuse are you using? All right, ready? All done. I'm going to give you four things that there is someone who will not fail you. This is a surefire truth. Number one is the Lord Jesus Christ will not fail you. He will not. Joshua chapter 1, verse 5, the Lord says to Joshua, I will not fail thee. You can write down 1 Chronicles 28, verse 20. You can write down Deuteronomy 31, verse 68. The Lord will not fail you. But you're going to have to talk to him. You're going to have to get in front of him. You have to tell him where you are. He won't fail you. Number two, the words of God will not fail you. That book that sits in your lap, and I mean a King James Bible, will not fail you. You know, we don't tiptoe around it, and we don't try to hide it, and, oh, you know, we're going to offend somebody. We ain't playing that game. That book won't mess you up. That book will help you if you'll allow it. Write down Isaiah 34, verse 16. There the Bible says, no one of these, talking about his words, shall fail. Luke 16, verse 17, one tittle, not one tittle of the law shall fail. That book's not going to fail you. I want everybody in here to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. You know, the Lord, he makes some promises. Second Corinthians chapter 1, look with me in verse 20. For all the promises of God in him are what? Yea and amen. You know what? He does not break his promises. You can write down 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. I'll give you a promise.
Watch this.
Here's you some promises. This is the cross. And this is you. We're going to give you some answer. Here's the promise. If you will receive Christ as your Savior, he will save you. He's never turned down anybody. If you receive Christ as your Savior, he will give you his righteousness. He's never broken his promise. If you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, he will keep you by the power of God. You don't even have to keep yourself. How many people are in church this morning and they're doing this? I don't know if I'm saved or not. Oh, what am I going to do? That's how they sit here. I don't want you to ever sit here like that. I want you to sit here and go, I'm saved or I'm lost. One of the two. If you're not saved, you need to get saved. If you are saved, you wander your way to heaven. Amen? That's the promise. You know what? That promise will never fail. He will never let you down. He will always be there just for you. The Lord won't let you down. He won't fail you. The Word of God won't fail you. Now I'm going to give you two more. Turn with me to Lamentations chapter 3. You see, I didn't know there was two more. There's two more. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations. Jeremiah writes Lamentations. Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet. The reason, he's all-time weeping over Israel. All right, ready? Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22, another verse you need to memorize. It is the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Why? Because his compassions fail not.
This morning, Jesus Christ knows what you're going through. He knows about every struggle. He knows every thought. He knows every action. He knows every motive behind the action. And He loves you this morning. And He's compassionate for you. You say, why did God take Mary and Paul? Why? Because He's compassionate. He knows him from the beginning. And He did what was best for that kid. Do you know if the Lord had it to do all over again, He would have done the same thing? Have you ever thought about that? Boy, that's some thought. Say, what is that? The Lord knows how you feel. He knows about that broken heart. He knows all that is going on. And He'll put His arm around you. And He'll love on you. Because His compassions fail not. Let me show you something the world doesn't have. The world don't have. You know what the world does? It sucks. It sucks. It gets kicked in the teeth and suffers. It gets let down and suffers. It hurts and suffers. No compassion. You say, well, that's what the devil does. He has no compassion. Last of all, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. No amens, please. Not 3:13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. So the Lord Jesus Christ will never fail you. The words of God will never fail you. The Lord's compassions will never fail you. And here's number 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8 and 9. Charity never what? Do you see that? You know what else won't fail? Charity. What in the world is charity? Well, charity is pretty easy. Charity is one believer's love towards another believer. Charity is not given to the homeless, given to the poor, given to the Red Cross. That is not charity. That's just you loving and giving. Charity is always between believers. Always. And you know what never fails? Is when you love on another believer. Never fails. I put my arms around Rex. And they had all these pictures. You know, man, we was young. We ain't anymore. And I put my arms around him, and, you know, I didn't give him no great big long anything. I just put my arms around him, and I said, I'm here, and I love you. That's all I said. I'm on the road coming back, and he sent me a text, and he said, oh, brother, he said, I sure wish I could have spent much more time with you. I said, man, I'm coming back in a couple, 3 weeks or so, and I said, we'll spend time together. I said, I knew you had lots of people to see. You know what I cared about? I just cared that he knew that I didn't fail. This morning, if I could encourage your heart, I would encourage you that the Lord will not fail you. But insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over and over and over and expecting something different. That's insanity. My question to you this morning is this. Ready? Adam and Eve failed the Lord. What about us? Do you know anybody that rejects Jesus Christ? You know the problem? The problem is they're failing the Lord. If you're here this morning and you've never taken Christ as your Savior, I want to invite you. I want to invite you to come. We'll take a Bible. And in about 2 or 3 minutes, show you exactly how you can be born again. If you're here this morning and you're saved, I really want you to think. Because this old wife, it is a veil of tears. And you need to have a handle on who cares and who won't fail to stand by our answer.
So everybody's standing, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, nobody's looking around. Father, I pray that you might bless this invitation. I ask, Lord, this morning that you will have warmed all of our hearts. We're so thankful that you come into an old wicked world and died for us. We're so thankful that not only did you die for us and was buried, but 3 days later you rose again. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you for the gospel, for the words of God. Thank you for your compassions. We trust and know that they fail not. I pray that you would help us to show and exhibit charity, Lord, in our lives. Lord, I pray if there'd be any here that's not saved, that today would be the greatest day of their lives, the day that they trust Christ as their Savior. I ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's sing just a minute, Just As I Am. That page is what?
$375
in your songbooks. Is it hot in here? Man, it's burning up here. What page again? 375. I don't know what it means. What was the page? Oh, three. Got it. All right, everybody ready? Just as I am without one thing, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou biddest me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am waiting, God, to rid my soul of one dark cloud, to thee, whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am.
Hey, listen, don't wait around. The Lord spoke to your heart. You come. Now, we would never, ever drag anybody anywhere. If you want to come, you're going to have to come on your own volition. But remember, this whole world will fail you. But the Lord will never fail you.
I come. Just as I am, wretched, blind, such riches healing of the mind. Yea, all I need in thee to find, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am now, wilt receive, wilt welcome, God, and cleanse, relieve, because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come. All right, let's bow our heads one more time and then play through one more time. Let's have everybody's heads are bowed down, everybody's eyes closed. I'm all done. But I certainly don't want to be done before the Lord's done. So here's our opportunity. I hope you walk out of here this morning with the idea, you know, sometimes I've been a flop, but the Lord didn't flop. And the Lord knows. So you can take all of that and bring it to an old rugged cross and lay it at his feet. And he'll put it as far as the east is from the west. He'll then look at you and say, I remember them no more. All right. Thank you for coming. Hope that Lord give you today just exactly what you need. Thank you for our visitors being here. You are our honored guests, and thank you for coming. And Brother Eric, they have moved to Kentucky. They have left Egypt. Now in the promised land. Close us in a word of prayer, please.
Good Father, Lord, thank you for allowing us to come here today, Lord, and worship you. Lord, I thank you for the message this morning. Lord, I pray you should keep all of us safe as we go home and bring us back safely tonight. In Jesus' name, I pray this. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. All right, Zoom world, we love you.
Amen.
Here's Sister Ida. Are you still? I hope you're doing better. We've been praying for you. All right. Bye-bye. Are you out of the hospital?
Yeah, I got out yesterday.
Good. Good. Amen. I'm glad you're doing better.
Yeah, me too. Thank you.
Amen. Mm-hmm.